second point that Asanga makes is that the essence of practice is to correctly receive it from somebody else. What you're getting in a spiritual community, what you're getting in a tradition, is our own deepening experience meets a more mature experience than our own. So the essence of practice, according to Asanga, is that we correctly receive the practice from somebody else. And that brings me on to this whole question of lineage. Vajrasara yesterday reminded me that Bhante actually has spoken about the FWBO as a lineage. And actually he's spoken about it as being four lineages. He says that there's a lineage of practice, there's a lineage of teaching, there's a lineage of inspiration. And then I think as a wee consolation for those of us who spent most of our lives working for the movement, he said, well, you could say there's a fourth lineage, which is the lineage of responsibility. So I want to say something about each of those briefly, but I mainly want to concentrate on the lineage of practice. And I mainly want to concentrate on meditation practice. Because of that, I want to make the qualifier. Our system of training is bigger than meditation. For most of us, meditation practice is something that you do for 40 minutes to an hour each day. And if that was the sum total of our practice, you can forget transformative. Basically, you've got 23 hours where the other shaping influences are not necessarily towards awareness. So basically, you have to be thinking of each moment of experience within a framework of practice. But for all that, Joseph Goldstein, I think it was, who said, well, you can say that your life is your practice, but sometimes you've also got to think about your practice being your practice. So I want to speak a little bit about meditation specifically. Partly, I want to speak about it because it's been a controversial area, or at least a confusing area, over the last few weeks. So I want to talk a little bit about this whole business of what we're receiving and how it meets our own practice. Part of my job is to talk to other traditions. And recently I visited a Kaju retreat centre in France, and a couple of things really struck me in how they taught at this place. One of the sessions, actually this was something that happened at Majjhima Loka, but a Lama, a guy called Lundrup, who I've got to know quite well, was talking about teaching Gampopa, teaching the dual ornament of liberation. And he was going through the passage on the hells, but he said it wasn't his business to edit Gampopa. He was at liberty to say, I don't find that useful, it's not something I use in my own practice. But he also felt he had a responsibility to pass Gampopa on full. And there was something about those two elements. It's not that we got the bits of Gampopa that Lundrup was at ease with. You got the whole text. You also got his comment, this is where I find it useful, this is where I don't find it useful. Something very similar in how they teach meditation. When they're teaching a sadhana practice, there's a couple of different stages that you go through. And one stage is they read you the text of a sadhana. You've been read this text that's probably hundreds of years old, and you're getting every clause and every comma of how a particular sadhana is done. But then there was a second part to the practice, and it's the guy telling you what he actually does in his practice. And I was thinking again, you've got the same dialogue going on. You've got somebody saying, well, actually, this is what works for me. But his experience is put in a context. What you're getting is an absolutely, as far as possible, an undistorted communication of what a tradition is saying the practice is involved. And I have to say, it made me think that there's lessons that we can learn from that in terms of how our experience meets a tradition, you know, even meets a body of teaching, some of which we're at ease with and some of which perhaps not at ease with.